Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about. Our guest this week is Tina Roth Eisenberg. Tina is a Swiss-born, raised, and trained graphic designer. In 1999, she came to New York City for a three-month design internship and never left. Over the past 13 years, Tina started numerous side projects that have organically turned into businesses: a creative co-working community called Friends, a global monthly lecture series called Creative Mornings, a simple to-do app called To-Do, and Tatly, a high-end temporary tattoo shop. She lives in Fort Greene, Brooklyn with her two kids, Ella and Tilo, who are teaching her the art of making slime and building forts. Tina's often referred to as Swiss Miss after her popular blog. She likes that, and so do I. Hey, Tina, how are you?
Hey, Mark. It's so good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm a big fan and follower, too, especially of your blog, which is sort of one of those retro things that I think is coming back.
I know. I'm totally believing in it.
Yes. Yeah,
I've never stopped believing.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
I love it.
I must say, I left the office early so I could record this at home. And they're like, why are you leaving early? I was like, I got to record this podcast with Kevin Kelly and Mark Frauenfelder. And then I heard some jaws drop. But I was like, I know. It's the cool people on the internet. So I'm really happy to be here.
Wow. Great. Yeah. So cool. Well, Tina, so you have some cool tools. I got a sneak peek at them. So why don't you go ahead and just start telling us about the first one on the list?
Okay. Yeah, that was actually a pretty cool exercise, to be honest, as I get very excited about things I use. So the first cool tool I really love is the Zipline bag, the inflatable travel bag from Freitag. Freitag, for those that don't know it, is a Swiss company. They make truck tarp bags out of truck tarp. And they started, I think, over 30 years ago. And if you're not familiar with truck tarp, so in Europe, most trucks are not made out of metal, but they're made out of this really, really solid tarp. And they turn these recycled tarps into bags.
They look and so cool.
They're so cool. They last forever. And the two founders, the Freitag brothers, they're really incredible humans. They just keep reinventing this thing. And they just came out with this travel bag that has a bike tube inside, which is the frame for the travel bag. So you pump that up and that makes it solid enough to be like a large travel bag. But then when you're done traveling, you can let the air out and roll this bag off up and take the wheels off, and it's tiny. So imagine you have a giant suitcase, but you can roll it up.
That is brilliant. And then the frame, because it's an inner tube, it's like really lightweight also.
I'm a big fan.
And how long does the inflatable, I mean, like, would it last a whole trip, when you inflate it?
For me, it does, yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's a really cool concept.
And you need a bike pump to inflate it?
Yep, just a regular bike pump.
Cool. And is it kind of also like a dry bag? That, you know, like, I'm a bicyclist, and so we have dry bags, which, so it must be waterproof as well?
Yeah, it's waterproof as well. And it looks good. And every single bag looks different because they use truck tarp. So a lot of these tarps are also printed on. So I got one that is red and white and has actually my initials on it. I found one that has TRE on it, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. And so you can also buy a little pump if you want that you could bring with you. Because if you're like going, say, to Japan where the hotel rooms are tiny, you can like
deflate it. I've never had that problem, but yes.
Yeah. Well, these are cool. And so how about the design with the compartments and everything? Is that well thought out?
It is. Yeah. I mean, I have no complaints. That's funny. I never thought about it, but I really do love it. And just in general, like not just this bag, to be honest, if not, somebody's not into travel bags, I can't praise the Freitag guys enough. Like, I don't. Have you guys ever owned a Freitag bag?
No, I haven't.
No.
Okay, you need to join the club because they last forever and they're really cool.
That sounds cool. And so this roller bag that you have is just one of many different things. It goes all the way from like little tiny wallets, backpacks, messenger bags. Mm-hmm. So there's all sorts of stuff that they're using, making these out of, I mean, the material is all the same. It's this tarp that's got a cool patina on it because it's been driven all over Europe, probably.
All over the world. I think at this point, they're buying the tarp from everywhere. By the way, Freitag is really big in Japan. They're superstars in Japan. They told me when they opened the store, there were lines around blocks and blocks and blocks because everyone wanted to see them.
I believe it. Yeah. And we should just say it ain't cheap, right?
No, you're going to pay. No, but again, it's a bit like, I feel like they make me think a bit of Patagonia. You know, it's a little more expensive, mm-hmm. but then they fix it forever for nice. Life. And they also last forever. I have one bag that I bought when I moved to New York 20 years ago, and I still use it, and it's completely in shape.
That's fantastic. So I'm looking at the bag. It says $980. That's,
it's
not cheap, but if it lasts your entire life, you know, that's a good deal. I've dragged around cheap roller bags with a missing wheel before. And during those times, yeah. I would pay $980 for a bag right now.
And also, it's just really designy as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that just gives me happiness too. I'm one of those people. I'd rather pay a little bit more, but the design of the bag makes
for
me
sure.
happy.
For sure. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So very cool. Tell us about this electric grill. I'm intrigued.
You're probably thinking this is really eclectic. I'm all over the place with my cool tools.
I love it.
All right, so obviously I'm Swiss, and I don't know, have you ever had raclette?
No.
Someone's had.
I don't know what that is.
Oh my god. Okay, cool. So raclette is a very traditional meal you eat in Switzerland. I had that a lot on, you know, Sundays or special occasions. So it's this little grill that comes with teeny tiny sort of Teflon pans where you can put a slice of raclette cheese, as a certain type of cheese that melts really beautifully. You put that in, and then you put it on this grill, and you wait, and that cheese melts away, and you chit-chat. And so everybody sort of cooks. It's a bit like the Korean barbecue of Switzerland. And while the cheese melts, you can grill meat and vegetables on top of the grill. And so I've had many of these, and it's a really cool communal way of having dinner because everybody just, you know, you just sit there and you help each other grill the meats. And then when the cheese is melted, you scrape it over soft boiled potatoes and you put some Swiss spices on it. It's really, it's delicious. If you like cheese, this is my heaven.
This looks so cool.
And it's really fun. It's like my favorite way of entertaining because as the host, you don't have to run around. You prepare everything ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And then everyone sits and cooks, and you smell like cheese. That's the one warning I always give everyone. You will smell like cheese. But the cool thing is I've had many of these raclette grills, but this one that I found by Artestia, I'm not sure how to say it. I guess Artestia, is that it is, you, depending on the depth of your table, you want it to be skinny and long because you might have a skinny and long table and not wide and deep. So, but this one, you can rearrange however your table is shaped. So you can make it either one long, skinny lineup so everyone can access it, or you can make it deep. So I know this is very nerdy now, but as a raclette fan, this was a revelation for me that this
is. Oh, yeah. That modularity is super useful.
Mm-hmm.
So the description would be that it's sort of like a long griddle with, and on top is where you can, say, barbecue the meat.
Yep.
But it's like below this is a second level where you heat the cheese.
Yeah, you have little pans. You have your own little pan. It's very cute. And then you melt the cheese in that. And then you scrape it out of that little pan onto your plate when it's done and a little crusty.
And then do you mix the cheese with the meat and veggies? Is that how you eat it or...?
No, usually you eat the cheese with soft boiled potatoes, and the veggies and meat is just on the side.
I see. So it has a little bit of the qualities of in the Chinese world, in Japan too, the hot pot, where you're cooking the food communally in front of you. Or you mentioned the Korean barbecue.
Yep, exactly. Very
similar.
It has
similar. Same kind of social dynamic.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's an electric, and it's also, this is electric, if I'm understanding
it right. Yeah, you plug it in. Yeah.
And easy to clean?
Easy to clean. Come to New York and we'll host you a raclette dinner.
And is raclette just Swiss or is that French, or can you fill us in on that part?
I totally want to claim it, but there might be some French listeners saying, like, that's not true. So I'm careful. It's probably co-opted. We both own it a little bit.
All right.
And so this actually is one that is very reasonably priced for what you get. I looked at the price and I'm quite surprised. It's like $75.
Yeah.
It looked like to me something that would be like, you know, $250, $300.
Yeah, no, it's reasonably priced. And as I said, this is like my fourth that I own.
Cool.
And this is the one that's my top choice.
Very nice. Well, that's good. There's a model that has like a stone grill. There's one that's like kind of the serrated or the bumpy kind of George Foreman grill size type surface. And then,
yeah.
And then the other unit, like it's a double unit, is like a stone. Is that the one you have? Or do you have the other one?
I have both.
Oh, wow. Okay. You're into it.
I'm really into it. But I had to learn that the stone one is much slower to cook.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be way more patient. So whoever sits on that side usually is like really envious to the people who sit on the other side.
Okay. Yeah. You can give that one to the fast eaters to slow them down.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So now you have another tool.
Probably so excited to talk about.
let's hear it. Yeah.
No, I figured I have to go all girly on you guys a little
fine.
Bit. No, but I mean,
sure. Yeah, we need yeah. that.
No, the funny thing is, like anyone that knows me is that I'm actually not a very girly lady, but my now downstairs neighbor, I saw her put a box out with this a blow dryer. It's a blow dryer and a round hairbrush in one. And I saw her put the box out and I noticed that her hair was just amazing. And I thought she was constantly getting blowouts. You know, it's a thing here in New York. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
It's in San Francisco as well.
It's expensive.
And I was like, wait a second. You're not getting blowouts. You use this thing? And she goes, yeah, it's incredible. And it's I'm really sorry, Revlon, but it's really ugly. It's like pink and like, it's just not beautifully designed in my book. But, and then I sort of reluctantly bought it because I blow dry my hair. I have curly hair, but I like it straight. So I got this thing and it's literally life changing.
Cool.
So you might not be able to relate because I guess you don't have long hair. But
I don't have any hair, so.
Okay. So I'm sorry, but just trust my word. If you like long, shiny, straight hair, this hairbrush, this hair dryer / hairbrush all in one is really a game changer. And I just have one thing I have to say. I hope someone from Revlon is listening. They need to improve it one way, and that is that you need to have a button that you can cool it without having to slide. That it can't be a slider button, which they have. That's the only complaint I have.
Mm-hmm. So if you were to describe this thing, it's sort of like a big fat wand or a you know, I don't know, the size of
a giant round hairbrush.
Yeah, but an oversized one. And then, so air is being blown through, up and through, and then out through the brush top. Is that how that works?
Yeah, and it's coming out on each side. So as you go down your long hair and keep turning it, it just keep straightening and brushing it. And the good thing is that the brush part and the front rotates independently from your cable in the back. Does that make sense?
No, if you could.
Because if you have a brush with a cable on it, electricity cable, and you keep turning it, you keep twisting the cable.
Mm.
And then you have like a big curled up cable.
Right, so, right.
Yeah, so the key here is that the cable is sort of independently from the front part of the brush.
It can swivel. There's a swivel at the base where the cord is, so it doesn't get tangled as you rotate it.
By the way, I'm highly amused that I'm talking about something like this.
It sounds like it could be. I mean, this is a fabulous combination. One wonders why no one had invented it before.
Well, it probably existed before, but I've had actually something similar, which is not as functional as this one. So. Revlon upped the game, apparently.
Tina, I'll tell you, I just texted this to my wife and I said, get this. She's going to love it.
I must tell you, we have a Slack channel at work for both my companies. We have a shared Slack channel. And I put this in and said, game changer. And all the ladies at my work know that I am not someone who posts about stuff like this. So they basically all bought it and they all agreed.
Yeah. Great recommendation. Because my wife does, she will get a blowout and it's like $75 to do it.
Yeah. It's expensive and it's really easy to do with this.
And this thing is 60. And how long does it take you to give yourself this treatment?
I have really long hair and hair that dries really slow. It takes me about half an hour.
Okay. That's not bad.
No.
Well, that's great. Excellent recommendation.
Yeah. And so, so you have a fourth one, that we'd like to hear about. And you had three hits so far. What's this one?
Okay. So my fourth one is, they call it an insulated tumbler. So, you know, where you can keep your hot and cold beverages like at the temperature that you poured it into. Mm-hmm. And this one is just really beautiful. I have a really hard time with it. You know, America is such a culture, a to-go culture. And I think it's great that more and more people bring their mugs, you know, in the mornings. And you know, I see a trend now here in New York. A lot of people don't want to do the throwaway cups. So they bring their own, what do you call them? Thermos? So what do you call them? I don't know.
Thermoses. Yeah.
But I usually really don't like the design. And then I found this one. And I think it was originally, because it looks a bit like a stemless wine glass just out of metal and white at the bottom. So it's super sleek and super modern. And I actually found it in California while I was in Mill Valley in a supermarket. And I was like, this is just so pretty that I don't mind walking around with this on the street.
Yeah, that's great.
Now I have like five of them. I have like three at work and two here. And it's just a really pretty sleek tumbler. And you know, when I sit on the stoop in the summer, I drink out of it and I have my wine in it. Nobody knows I'm drinking wine on the stoop and I get my hot coffee in it.
That's great. And so it looks like it's 12 ounces and about $13.
Also smaller.
And it's it says it's doubled walled vacuum insulated, so it's like a thermos.
Yeah, and it really stays cold and hot. I mean,
and is it stainless steel on the inside as well, or is it glass? Or
yeah, it's stainless steel on the inside as well.
Okay.
And so, do you generally keep the lid on it? It's like has a plastic lid with a hole to sip from, or do you take that off?
I usually keep it on it because I have a tendency to kick my cups over. Very much to the detriment to Jessica, who sits next to me at work. So it's a little safer with the lid on.
Well, it looks great. It looks very cool. A nice shape. And I think we might have something. We might have these or something that looks a lot like them. But yeah, very cool.
Okay.
I think they come in two sizes, though.
Yep. And different colors as well.
And different colors. All right. That's nice. So it's sort of like a kind of vaguely trapezoidal cylinder and stainless steel for most of it. And at the very bottom, there's a color just for description. And as you said, very sleek, very modern. Very Swiss Miss, I must say.
Yeah. Keep it consistent. I must say, I had a really hard time. I had like seven products that I wanted to talk about. I was like,
What was another one that we didn't get to that you might have included? Do you have it on top of your head?
Well, there's also my app to do, but that was like a little too self-pluggy. But I mean, I cannot live without it.
Well, tell us about it, and then tell us how it's spelled. Also,
okay, yeah. So this is something that my studio mate Cameron Cozen and I built because I was just lamenting the world of to-do apps in 2010, and I said I just wanted to be as simple as a paper list, but digital. And okay. So we sort of did that as a joke. He at one point just said, because I was ranting about it over lunch, and he just said, just design it, I'll build it for you. So I literally sat down, it took me 3 hours and I was done. And then 48 hours later, we had a working prototype and I was using it. and then we were like, you know, let's give it away. Let's just give it to the world because everyone that saw is using it. Because imagine you have, I use it as my landing page on my browser. And imagine you have a very sleek week in front of you, like, you know, Monday, Tuesday, like every day with just lines underneath where you can just like, as if it was like a paper list, you can just add things into it, but it's digitally. And whatever you didn't check off just rolls over at midnight. So it's very simple, but it's so useful if you like, if you're someone like me who just likes to check things off and make lists of things, because all I need to do sometimes is get it out of my head. So we built it and we called it, we couldn't really come up with a fun name for, because all the to-do names are kind of, the to-do app and URLs are taken. So we were just making fun of how the French pronounce to-do. It's to-do. So it's the worst name for an app ever because nobody can spell it, but it's TEUXDEUX.com.
Okay.
And does it run on a phone? Is it on laptop? Is it desktop? Both? Is it synced?
Yeah, it's synced. We have an app that syncs with you know, the web version. And to be honest, I mean, I just like very simple to-do apps and it keeps me running. So we kind of just maintain it because both Cameron and I, our life is basically depending on it.
I see. You maintain it because you need it.
Yes. Yeah. And I just didn't want any bells and whistle. And because a lot of to-do apps, you know, I get it. People, you know, especially if you make an app for a living, you want to keep adding features to keep your customers happy. And we just keep it extra super simple on purpose. And we have a super loyal following. It's actually really cute. We launched it and gave it away in December of 2010. And within 2 hours of launching, Fast Company wrote an article about it saying it's the best to-do app of 2010. And then we got so many signups that Cameron and his developer, they were like just sitting there getting green. And was like, we're not sure the service can handle it.
Mm-hmm. That is so cool. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's very nice. And I use something called Workflowy that I like.
Oh, yeah. Where you can collapse it and open it up, right?
Which is nice. You like it? I do like it, but things tend to be hidden. This is like, you get like this kind of a week view, a week long view that's like right there. It's just that the simplicity and elegance is really appealing. I'm going to give it a try, Tina.
Oh, thank you. And then I think the key is really that you just manage your, what we call the someday lists on the bottom. Mm-hmm. So I have a ton of lists on the bottom. You know, every time somebody suggests a book I should read, I put it in there, or a movie, or sometimes you just need to get something out of your head, and you want to make sure you don't forget it. And then I have like a new one that I just told my I started working with a new coach mentor in Palm Springs, and I show them. I have an avoidance list, the things I've been avoiding, they're in a sub list. Yeah, it's actually That's really cool. fun to see how people use to their.
I love that, a list of things to definitely not do. That's good. Yeah,
exactly.
not do list. Okay. And is this so it's also serving as a note taker besides your to-dos. It's kind of like a
not
note.
Necessarily, but let's say if we would have a conversation at a party and you would mention, which I assume you would do, you know, things you love. And I want to just take them down and look them up afterwards because it's my landing page. Like every time I open a browser window, it sort of hits me over the head what I need to get done. And then I usually, I just in the morning, I look up, you know, the books or movies or whatever people have mentioned. So I use it a bit of as a note taking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's on, is it on Android as well?
No, don't hate me, Android people. No, we didn't build an Android, unfortunately. Okay. Yeah.
So iOS and then is it just Mac only for the, or is it web-based?
It's web-based.
Okay.
Yeah. And I really like the way that the current day, everything is red so that it's easy to zoom in on. And then the other days are black.
Yeah, when you can change the color as well, or you can change the whole color scheme of the app. But the cool thing is, I don't know if you're in the browser right now, if you resize the browser and make it really small, you only see today. So you can sort of have it in the corner of your screen.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And then you can grab the items and you can just move them around. You can organize your whole week. Like on Monday morning, you can come in and say like, which other things I want to do. And you can have repeats in there. If you want to water your plants every Wednesday, you can just say water plants every week or every 2 weeks. And then it just puts it in as repeat.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I love it because I have like a list of things that I have to do every single day, like four things.
And you could put those in there. You could just
and
say
it just
auto
populates. Oh, that's super cool. This is great.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
That's Sorry good. For the self plug, but I really do love my to-do app.
Absolutely. That's great. I'm glad you told us about it. Just while we have a couple minutes left, tell us a bit about Creative Mornings and what it is.
So Creative Mornings is basically was my response to the conference world. When I first moved to New York from Switzerland, I didn't know a soul. It was really hard for me to find my creative people. And I was, you know, I couldn't really afford lots of the design events. I made very little money. So I basically built what I wish existed a few years later when I was still in New York. I just had this vision for an ongoing gathering for the creative types in New York City that is completely accessible. So at the time, I ran a co-working space called Studio Mates, and I opened one Friday morning a month. I opened the doors, had a 20-minute lecture and free breakfast. And that has since grown in the last 10 years to 201 cities in 65 countries. We have 1,500 volunteers around the world organizing these events, and they're really magical. They're hard to describe, but it's a really wonderful community that gets together once a month in all those cities. And I'm just really proud of it, because over 20,000 people get together every month for free. And lots of beautiful stories have come out of it. You know, people collaborating, marriages, people getting hired, you know, people finding, wow, like people moving to a city they don't know anyone, and then start going to these events and finding their people. So I'm really proud of what it has become.
I did a Creative Morning talk in San Francisco.
I know, we were so proud of that.
but I have no idea what other people talk about. What kinds of things generally are the talks about? Are they kind of shop related, or are they completely unexpected? Whatever people are passionate about, is that the general idea?
They're all over the place. So whoever becomes the host of that city, it usually gathers a team and then invites. They're completely run independently. So every month we have a global theme that then all the hosts and their volunteers pick a speaker for. And, you know, it's loosely under the umbrella of creativity. And so, and then at the end, we upload all of the talks in that under that theme. So if you go into our site, you can see, you know, talks on food, talks on education. And, you know, they're sometimes loosely related. They're sometimes clearly related. But there's also beauty in that. And we really let the chapters experiment with, you know, and tell them to, you know, take risks in who you get on stage. You know, speakers speak for free. Venues are hosted for free. Sponsors provide breakfast. It's just, I call it an engine of generosity. It's a really lovely thing. If you haven't gone to one, I would highly suggest to look up on creativemornings.com if there's a city close by.
And then after the talk, there's a little bit of time where people chat, network, and yeah, that generosity continues for the whole morning.
Yeah. I mean, what we get all the time, and I know this sounds cultish, but what we get all the time is that people say they feel filled up. I mean, when you're surrounded by a lot of really friendly people that smile at you and hand you a coffee and give you, you know, a donut. I mean, people are inherently really lonely, is what we just realize every single time we put on these events. And people are just so glad to meet up in a safe environment that doesn't feel like you're, you know, you have to be networky. It's just a kind group of humans that, you know, wants to get inspired and get together. So we always get the feedback afterwards, like, you know, I feel so filled up and I went to work and I kind of, you know, didn't dread my day, which is really lovely.
That's really fantastic. So it's creativemornings.com or .org or
.com.
.com. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you were talking about something else called field trips, and what are they?
Yeah. So what we learned over the last 10 years of running this is that, you know, when you create an event that is based on non-transactional giving, it's almost like you open the doors to a relationship. Like, people come and they go like, what the heck, this exists, this is free. And they first are a little scared, and, you know, they kind of have their guard up because they're like, they're going to pitch me something, going to sell me something. And then that doesn't happen. And then people go like, what is this unicorn event? This makes me feel good. Let me be part of it. So we get constant feedback and saying, how can we participate? And there's only so many volunteers we can, you know, take on to put on the events. So we realized, like, we just need to let people be part of this and give back. So what we started and have been prototyping for a good 2-3 years here in New York is what we call field trips, where we basically tell our community, is there something you have to teach? Is there something you're really good at? Is there something you can give back? Then host a field trip. It's like a short 1-2 hour event, and it can be literally anything. there's people who teach you how to make dumplings. There's people who do a photo walk and teach you a bit about, you know, photo and lighting, whatever. There's people who teach coding. There's dance. There's, I mean, literally, whatever you think it could be, there's always an audience for it, from pom-pom making to salsa to it's really beautiful. It's almost as if you're unlocking the community and say, like, you know, just host an event and people will fill the room with really kind and generous people. So we're starting slowly but surely to build that out now globally. And I actually think this is what we will be known for in a few years.
Yeah, it's really fabulous. I think you're onto something. And so people would be able to find those by going through the Creative Mornings, or is that something separate?
Yeah, it's on creativemornings.com, and you can go at events, and there's a tab for field trips. Okay. And we're currently mostly in New York, in Chicago, and San Francisco. But I mean, I have a feeling if some good applications came in, I think Sam would slap me over the fingers now. But if we will get some really good applications for field trips somewhere else, we might let them happen.
Yeah. Well, having attended at least one Creative Morning, I encourage others to do that if it's possible where you live or on a visit to a city. You will not regret it.
Or watch the talks online. They're all online.
Yes.
Cool. That's amazing. Tina, you're a very inspiring person and really fun to talk to. Thanks so much for joining us here.
Thank you so much.